This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom!
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and we are back. Hey, a whole week, and we're back. It's been another dope week of advertising. We've been hanging out. A whole bunch of shit has happened. But I've got a whole bunch of guests in the studio with me today. But how are you guys doing? I mean, how is Adventland doing? You know, have you reached a place where it's tapering out? No, it's not tapering out. Like I said last week, shout out to the guys who are going to be Skeleton Stuff, because shout out to Skeleton Stuff, because we know all about that. Everybody that's in the studio right now knows all about being Skeleton Stuff.
Yeah.
About everybody else being gone, having taken leave, but you're not even allowed leave. Even if you wanted to come up with the idea of leave, you know, you couldn't take leave. So you're there. And the internet wasn't even as robust back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, you know, now you can spend the day on the internet. Back in the day, yeah, you had YouTube, like, at best. You know what I mean? There was a time when you just said, you know, Microsoft, Music Explorer. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And you can surf through thunder.com.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. In fact, you're right. In fact, all you need... we used to spend a lot of time hanging out on thunder.com, looking at parties that have absolutely nothing to do with you. Hey, Pitori Baya Chai.
Can you find that guy that you saw at that other party? Hopefully you're going to see him at that party. Someone who was at that party.
Oh, that's fucking crazy. Anyway, it's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man, and we're back at it. Welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome to another dope hangout. I've got some really, really cool guests with me in the studio today. If you've been following me on social media, you kind of... Cheza, guys. Guys, huge shout out to Cheza. He's in the studio as well today. You know, like, I mean, he gets a lot of things, right?
Cheza!
You
know?
She gets a lot of things right, but when he gets them wrong, he gets them spectacularly wrong. You know?
Let's point it out.
I'm killed. I think so, people spell surnames wrong.
He just chooses a whole wrong person. So let me tell you what happened. So if you follow me on social media, right, you know that I will be posted. You know who the guests are going to be in the studio today. Excited, you know, and I looked through the photos and I was like finding black and white photos. I was like, damn it, it's like we did an entire shoot just for this particular. A show, right? So I put the stuff together and I call Cheese up, right? And I'm like, Cheese, I'm reading stuff here on the net and I'm doing background checks and whatever, but this does not sound like the right person you gave me. And no, I promise you, this is the one, all the time, I call it sharp. And then Cheese,
I've apologized.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
in fact,
we're fixing it.
Okay, cool. Yes. Yeah. So maybe I should allow Cheese to apologize for the boo-boo that he made. Cheese, I'm gonna leave this up to you. I'm gonna turn the music off actually. Please tell us what you did.
Yeah. I made a faux pas.
A faux pas.
I've made a faux pas, but yeah. I've duly apologized.
Yeah. What was this faux pas? I think enlighten us. Enlighten the people out there in the streets on how you fucked it up. Yeah, give us details.
You know, sometimes people just need a sincere apology.
That's right. That's right. Details, yeah.
Because when you explain, it sounds like you're making.
But just excuse. But you're explaining to the nation and the internet.
The nation needs to know that I'm.
Say it. You are.
I'm sorry and deeply apologetic.
Yeah.
A thousand apologies for the Fox Pass.
Yeah. That's all we needed. That's all we needed.
Accept.
Thank you. Yeah, that's all we needed. Let's move on. All right. So I'll tell you who I've got in the studio with me today, guys. So we're gonna get into all the stuff of who they are and why they're here and all that stuff. But I'm gonna introduce them first, and then we're gonna go through some of the stuff that's happened. You know, I'm gonna get their opinions on some of this shit. You know, I mean, you know how it gets in the studio. So in the studio with me today, I've got some people that, you know, some of you might know from, you know, just advertising life. Some of you might know from social media.
Panda.
Others you know from Panda. But I've got the massive from Chirasekasi in the studio with me today, and I mean, that's what's up, right?
Yeah.
So I've got Sunshine Shibambo, Sami, Sunshine Shibambo in the studio with me today. There we go. Speak into the mic, Sami.
Okay?
That's what's up. Yeah. And I've also got Amanda, Street Post Massive Woman, in the studio with me today. What's going on? And I've got the right person in the studio today. I've got Dumi Muhube in the studio with us today. What's up? How you guys doing? What's up?
Good.
Very good.
Thanks for the invite.
What did we pull you guys out of? Like, what's on your desk right now? What are you guys working on right now that you guys had to put down before you came here?
Everything. Four pictures.
Four pictures.
Yeah. Some reports, feedback from past things that we've done.
Yeah.
And then hunting for new clients.
That's what's up. Because that never stops, does it?
No, that's a daily.
So where are you guys based out of? Where are you guys chilling?
Just around the corner from here. Now that I know where you guys are based.
Yeah.
Every now and then when I go past the
house. Come hang out. Come find chairs and make him apologize again. You know what I mean? Let's just do that.
We're in Morningside.
Okay.
On Summit Road, which is the same road as the police station.
All right.
We chose.
Thankfully.
We chose the area, I guess, because all the agencies are in the side of the world. But also most of our clients are this side of the world.
That's right.
Even though we work nationally.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. So you guys also like hang out with like guys in like Cape Town, Durban, all those beautiful guys.
We become like a second home.
Yeah, Limp City.
Yeah.
You know, Polokwane. It depends. Yeah.
Oh, that's dope, man.
Wherever the work takes you.
And that's the joy, I guess, of Pushback being
Ridge
so small.
The MP.
Nothing wrong with Pushback Ridge. Pushback Ridge, what's up?
You're coming there. There's new business coming. Pushback Ridge. We see you.
You guys are fantastic. Anyway, it's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man. Once again, hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter with whatever questions or whatever comments you might have for my guests in the studio today. Even if it's like, you know, stuff from back in the day, thunder.com.
No, we've changed. We've evolved as individuals. I'm not
going to
church.
Now
I'm not going to church.
Now you have to. Now you have to hit me up with whatever comments you have for them. That reaction.
That reaction. Guy was just a friend.
Guys, this is fantastic. But yeah, once again, hit me up on Twitter. It's at Black Zimmer, at BLAXEM, or on CliffCentral.com. Give me your comments. Give me your questions for the guys. Let's hang out. Let's have a good time. So some dope things have happened in the past couple of weeks. Well, in the past couple of days in the land of advertising. I read a thing that Kagiso Muzi has joined Wonderman's telecom agency team as MD. What's up, Kagiso? What's going on?
Wow.
What's going on?
Kagiso, we're going to call you.
Yeah. But that's actually what I was going to get into when Amanda. I'm not going to deal with what's happening here.
Something happening here.
I'm not going to deal with that. but man, I mean, you worked with Kagiso back at Jupiter.
Yeah.
You know, you guys started Jupiter with Clem also.
No. Yeah, I was at Jupiter when it was like, we won a whole lot of accounts.
Yeah.
When it was a perfect storm. Yes, the perfect storm.
And then Friday budget.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. When advertising was real advertising and you didn't have to like trade on ROI.
But is this a place?
It's important for the client.
No, no, you bring up a topic that's very close to my heart, my man.
You guys work in advertising now. It's not the same.
Yeah. That, we didn't have this ROI stuff. Yeah, we just made a case
with ROI. We started meetings with, do you guys have an idea?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it, but is it lacquer? Is it lacquer? Anyway, so but like when you worked with Kagiso at Jupiter Drawing Room, did it always seem like this, you know, she was destined for stuff like this? Like, has she always been like, you know, leadership? Or is this one of those
I've known Kagiso before advertising.
Oh, okay.
Went to school with my older sister.
Oh, boom.
She was like, yeah, deputy head girl.
Oh, so this has always been your stuff, Kagiso.
No, like, she's always been in this, like, this line of trade, you know. She's always been a leader. She's always been someone you can go talk to for advice.
Yeah.
Understanding the career path. I mean, I've had a few conversations with her.
That's what's up.
And, you know, I'll always be her baby brother.
You should
have done that.
Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, she's a real, real powerhouse in the game.
Yeah.
So she can definitely, she deserves the position she's in.
That's dope, man. Yeah. That's dope. So well done, Kagiso. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see what comes of that. Working with the likes of Hayden Townsend in them, you know, and everybody out there at Wonderman. You know, like it's going to be interesting to see what comes of that. You know,
yeah.
And we all know that whole, I'm not going to talk about what happened with the speech because that's a different story completely. And that's not the show. That's not what the show.
Yeah, we also got some stories to share about that.
Yeah. Oh, it gets deeper. Manda, serious Joe. We're like in the first couple of minutes of the show. You already dropping things.
G-Man, come on.
That's what's up, sir.
That's Navalo.
That's it, guys. That's a boy, G-Man, the admin. The show sounds Valo. Woo! And we all know how that ended for the people sounds Valo. Anyway. So there's another thing that I read about, and it's that the Times, you know, the printed Times, yeah, the paper, is gonna stop printing on the 15th of December, right? So they say that they're gonna go only digital, and you know what I mean. Everybody who's got a subscription of the Sunday Times is gonna get it free. You know what I mean? So there's a whole bunch of things now that are happening. I got a bunch of LSM data, right?
Data.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, I wanna let me ask you to me about this, like. How is that like kind of, cause you know, it's obviously them adapting, mm-hmm. right? It's them going, let them print every day is also costing us money and like, I mean, that's obviously something that you guys have constantly had to do, kind of going, how do we adapt? How are we constantly adapting and changing in order to meet what people are doing? Like, how important is that part to you guys?
Sure. I think if you are not willing to adapt, you might as well just shut down
the
agency. It's quite important to stay innovative all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, also to Sunshine's point, LSMs, I think it's quite drastic what they're doing, but I'm assuming that they've done their
research. Explain that to us. Explain what you mean by LSMs.
Firstly, LSM, the whole level. Entire
level
should just data be cut because they really aren't... type of LSMs and so forth.
Yeah.
But like just understanding your target audience and your target market, I still think there is a... a group of people that still like, for me, I'm very old school. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Even though I'm, you know, LSM 9 to 10.
Yeah.
I only do premium vibes. Yeah.
That's what we bring to your show, guys. LSM 9 and 10. You guys thought they didn't exist, right?
It's a real thing.
Yeah. Look at the photos. Look at the videos we just posted. LSM 9 and 10 is in the studio right now.
Oh my goodness.
That's a true moon appears woman.
But I think it's important, obviously. Yeah, to understand your audience and stuff. I mean, I'm saying, you know, people like me who still, you know, enjoy the feel of a book and turning
that
stuff
and
having to read and collecting books and collecting papers. But then again, we are moving into a world where everything is digitized and so forth.
Yeah.
It's quite important. And I mean, I'm just looking at my daughter at school. There's hardly ever books because everything is just done on an iPad. So we are moving into those times. And by the time that LSM, is grown up, you know, they would have adjusted into the new world. So
the LSM thing has always been funny to me because it's always been like one of those things where like you're actually boxing people, right? And not actually understanding the fact that like and like every time you spoke about the overlaps, it's almost like the strategist wanted to kill you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, and the media people as well, they just want to smack you because you just said that. No, but I mean, you said this guy's LSM 4, but. The fact that he actually has that. But you still call him LSM 4. You know what I mean? Like how do you? So it's going to be amazing to also to see what we're going to replace this LSM stuff with.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the fun for us with clients is always just you know, explaining the three of us.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
we start trying to define this LSM thing. Because yeah. it's like you're saying, he's got a loan for a repa.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy in the township who drives a Porsche, who lives in a double story.
Exactly.
But he's only got 8,000 in his account.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah, cool. And he's happy with that.
Yeah, because that's all he needs most.
And he's going to wear his diesel jeans. Yeah. And his, you know, so it's about adapting to your consumer's lifestyle.
That's
not
right.
trying to box them into, you earn this much, you drive this much, you live
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Because I think it's you know, it's all in your consumer's aspirations.
Yeah.
What they believe their life should look like
yeah.
is kind of the language you should speak.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely.
In a township, no one's trying to always live and end up in a township.
Boom!
Yeah. Whether it
Boom.
Happens or not, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
So for us, it's the township guy who's dreaming bigger. It's not happening, but he's dreaming of it.
Yeah.
What are we selling him?
That's yeah. what's up.
You
I like
know,
that a lot.
That's the dream for us.
I like
it's,
that so
it's,
much.
It's out of the box.
That's so dope. I like it. We're going to get into that. But in fact, you know what? I want to chat about like is that are these like some of the frustrations that brought you guys out of you know, the what I'm going
nice
to what I'm going to call the yeah, the checks.
The nice checks.
You know what I mean?
Guaranteed
I mean,
checks.
Yeah, is it, are these the kind of things that kind of made you go, guys, enough. There has to be a way that this stuff can be done differently.
I'm going
to
be careful how we answer this one because I still need my chance to sign off the invoice.
No.
I'll let you do that.
It wasn't a, you know, overnight frustration
yeah.
for me.
Because you were at SAB, right?
I started at AAA, got into yes, advertising.
Yes, shout out to all the guys at AAA.
Class of 2003. And for us, it was, you know, I went into the industry trying to understand the industry. So I started in advertising. I was at your typical agencies.
Yeah.
Interned at Hans, you know, and you see it in different areas. I moved into corporate because the idea of advertising then.
Yeah.
I mean, we were that class. We're still very white.
Yeah.
Black people were. Yeah, do you think you can do this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
are you sure about this?
Are you sure? Yeah.
That's when you got into an agency and they asked you, how did you find out about advertising? Yeah. Eh?
How did you get art direction?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so...
That kind of little turn.
Yeah. Kind of little turn. And you get into corporate and now you start having your colleagues service you as agency and you have the power or the opportunity to actually change the narrative.
That's so right.
I think it's a responsibility, more clearly in corporate, as the brand manager. The marketing manager, the
director,
the guy who's making the decisions to have the insight,
that's
to have
right.
the knowledge to understand the people you're speaking to, and you stop the agencies from coming up with the dancing,
and
you are signing off on,
exactly.
on funny things,
you
know. So we can go hard
on Bomama, Barra sang all the time,
absolutely.
Yeah, because our moms only speak like that, they only shout, there's no other way they speak,
and they dance,
and they dance.
You know, so it for us it was that. It was years of frustration. Mandla was in the agency.
Yeah,
so
in fact
that was
gonna be my next question actually. I was gonna go to Mandla and ask him like making you know like that leap as well, you know, from having been amongst it. You know, like because you know when you're in the agency, like you said, in that time you were amongst it.
Yeah.
You know,
and you were told what to do.
And you were like and every time you try to come up with like you raise your hand and you say, guys, I don't know about that. And you say, but bro, we've seen it. All the other ads are doing it, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how you want to do fucking things differently. That's why I've got a new voice for you, bro.
Yeah.
It was very tough. I mean, like on the come up and, and having your wings clipped.
Yeah.
You know, in order to, this is a formula that works.
Yeah.
We're gonna work within this formula.
Yeah.
Find us black songs that we can then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then it's done. I mean, I'm very guilty of that. I mean, we
that's also what we do on this show, guys. You know, people come and confess what they've done to us.
I've planted lots of trees. I donate to Otamini Children Home. So my moral compass is still strong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm not proud of that I've done.
But then are you actively now trying to make sure that, you know, that like that kind of stuff does not see the light of day anymore?
No, definitely. I mean, we definitely are that. As an agency, we're pushing our teams to view things a lot more differently.
That's right.
And our team is very much more diverse than working into any other agency working there right now.
Who's in this team? I think someone needs to tell us. Do me tell us who's in the team?
Just awesome people.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of awesome. Gotta say their names.
You know you gotta shout them out.
Meredith Jones.
Boom.
We've got a new intern, Snalo, who's joined us. She's incredible.
Oh, Snalo from Umuzi.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Shout out Snalo. Yeah.
You know, we try and give a
It's an old club, old group.
Yeah.
Masa is the only hombre.
Out here, Sekasi.
Miss Cherry. We like it that way.
That's right.
Madla is our kind of, you know, he's our snap.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. No.
That's
the
The joy of having women in a team is I think women generally have the attitude to get shit done.
Yeah.
You know, it's so I just come from.
Don't come from an ego-driven kind of place.
That's
I came
right.
up with the idea.
Yeah.
Like collectively, we all came up with that idea.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It's interesting. It's because I mean, with your experience, like kind of working with, you know, like mostly male teams, do you feel like that's kind of where, because egos are kind of associated with advertising. You know,
yeah,
everyone
true.
Just says advertising, like you know,
ego driven.
I think the male
ECD says goals.
But there are female ECDs, right?
No,
yeah.
Recently, though.
No.
I mean,
no,
we're talking over the last 5 years.
Yeah,
female are getting into more senior positions.
I will not dispute that at all because I also still want to have this show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I will not be lynched.
But the male ego is. And I understand because, you know, we have to understand advertising was always a white thing.
Yeah.
I got into
it. It was a white male thing.
Yeah, because I wanted to understand why they do it the way they do it.
Yeah.
What that did is it opened an opportunity to show them how to do things the way we do it.
That's right.
The market is now 90% black.
The buying
market.
Yeah.
We're willing to get into debt to have the things we want.
Exactly.
So you find 80% of our brands, our clients, are speaking to the black consumer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for the bigger agencies, the adaptability is
tough.
Now being very close to a black person.
Yeah.
A black partner, a black environment, but also you have to be connected to the right black partner, someone who's connected to that consumer.
Yeah.
Because also within the black consumer, there's so many segmentations. We have black friends who don't speak Vanek, who've never grown up black.
Yeah.
They've never lived in a township.
They black?
Don't. You know, they have certain black nuances that they follow.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, Lebogang Rastaba was on the show last week, and he mentioned something really, really interesting about that. We were talking about, you know, like the fact, you know, the it's been done phenomenon, you know, like about how, you know, everybody has already done something and blah, blah, blah. But he said there's so many facets to this whole black thing that I guess in our previous guises, we just did one version of it.
Yeah.
When they said, I want the pansula, I want the pansula.
Yeah.
You know, it's the guy, dusty street, you know, or he's in small street, he's dancing while he picks up groceries. What the fuck? But
before he gets in the
he watches Generations, before watching a soccer match, like all that shit, right? But he was like, but like, what if we did an ad? Once you start talking about a pansula, and this pansula guy is a rugby player who also happens to be a pansula, and you just kind of go, fuck, that's always just been right here. Who also just happens to skate because we are that complex and we're allowed to be that complex.
But we are a learning nation, you know.
Yeah.
I think oppression. Because we didn't have the opportunity to tap into so much.
Yeah.
The moment that oppression gate was opened, black people
so
wanted
firsts.
To try everything.
That's
we wanted
right.
to acknowledge that, okay, I tried it, I don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
and it's okay.
For me, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the joy of being black is being curious.
Yeah.
We're always curious on how anyone does it. So
that's
we'll
right.
always kind of get into things that are non-black.
Yeah.
You know,
but
we evolve with those things and we adapt those things to our life. So pansula becomes the pansula skater.
Yeah, exactly.
With a mohawk.
Exactly. Because that's also a thing.
You know what I mean? Who likes Vans?
With those containers, fashion.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But don't you find that as much as we speak about and understand that...
speaking to the mic, please, come on now.
The black dynamic or the black outlook or the insights that we bring, that some of our clients are still trying to push a specific black
person.
But I mean, there's a lot of clients that we've had to...
Because before,
we've
always had the idea that maybe it's the white people forcing us to do this. But now I find that in some situations...
We are guilty of it ourselves.
We're guilty of it ourselves.
Because there's an unlearning...
explain this and they don't get it.
That's actually a great point, because there's also a lot of unlearning that we've all have to do as well. Because especially having come up in the game where you are told that no, guys, come on, bro, no one's gonna fucking understand that. And now you're also kind of you're churning out a certain brand of advertising, or a certain brand of idea.
Yeah.
And actually think that's a really great point, because we're guilty.
Yeah. We like to look at age. I think is a big factor for us speaking to a certain age group.
Yeah.
Who have certain habits.
That's right.
You know, and certain kind of, I think, daily behaviors.
Rituals. Yeah.
And rituals that we look at. That's easier for us than going LSM 4 to 5.
That's right.
Who lives in Deep Kloof.
Yeah.
For us, it's a 25-year-old in Limpopo the same as a 25-year-old in Durban, in Cape Town, in Mpumalanga. You know, are they speaking the same language?
That's
are they
right.
listening to the same music? Are they shopping in the same shops or same vibe?
That's right.
So you delve deeper for your insights.
Yeah,
it's not just black.
You can't just say black.
Yeah.
I also blame the other, and I'm going to say this because we are on Clip Central.
That's what's up. You've been the ad man where everything goes.
Black creatives that are sitting in big agencies.
That's right.
For not having the guts and not being courageous enough to actually say, as a black person, I can be today in Sandton and tomorrow I'm going to a car wash in Soweto and
that's
tomorrow
right.
I'm in Yohlala.
And this weekend I'm going to see my aunt in Rustenburg.
You know, it's weird sometimes when you work on certain briefs and they say, no, we want to go into, let's say, a tavern, and they only do certain things. So, like, you know, a tavern has got like five occasions one day, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What tavern is, happening, you know. So
but you see, that's why I blame the marketers. And I guess I'm upset. Yeah,
you know, because it's an agency where it is
what it is. The belief is gonna come the way it comes. Because look at agencies like Network, and Johannes back in the days, the Simunye campaign and Metro FM campaign.
Yeah,
there were black. Heads of creative that were sitting there forcing that narrative, and it worked,
and it was beautiful.
That's what inspired me to get into advertising with the Metro FM.
Yeah,
you know, Abu Mbulelo, Abu Fistas, Abu Lapis, Abu Julius.
Nothing wrong. The school.
I'm an OG. The game. You know, those are people.
Shout out to the OGs.
I'm still earning my OG stripes.
Your Rages, your Newos, there were people in advertising before us.
Yeah.
Who were brave enough to say, okay, we'll put in that foot.
Yeah.
We'll force it. They might not like us. We might get fired. But you know what?
But this is the conversation
we
need to have.
We want to leave a mark. And we want you guys to understand that black is evolving.
That's right.
You know, and the Metro ad was the best way of what makes you black. It's not
that
the
was
color
tight.
Of your skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the music.
Yeah.
It's not the train you're getting into. It showed you that there's more to being black, and you have to applaud those agencies that did that and took
that always kind of work. And those were the agencies that were called ahead of their time.
Excellent.
You know what I mean?
And that's kind of the
irony of it all, right?
Yeah.
That back then they were ahead of the time for doing. You know, like but by then it was actually supposed to be normal. I mean, we quote them now because they were ahead of their time. Mm. But it's kind of strange looking back and saying, I can't fucking believe we were not there. You know what I mean? Because Rakhanya, actually.
And we're still here today.
We are still here today. If ads where people are dancing for David Cards and Custard and are still being approved, then we're still crazy.
We're not all Mawaneng, guys.
And that is it. So I'll tell you that, like, another thing that I've kind of noticed, I think, and I could be wrong, right? I could be wrong. Because the biggest problem is that it felt like back then, even when you're showing black insights, it was black insights filtered through white eyes, right? So it couldn't be so hectic that white people felt uncomfortable with it, even though it was your reality. So that's why you'll see Bram and you'll see Maboneng
and the rooftop
because that's kind of where our white creatives and white counterparts have been as well, right? So if I say we open up Maboneng, like, good, excellent, I got you, right? Yeah, and then what? And then the
Skyline,
it's bungee jumping off Ponty of the towers,
and then it slips in his like funky clothing, hey?
Yeah, and then you know what I mean. So I think that like that filter is something that we absolutely have to work on. We have to work on making sure that filter like it's changed or removed entirely, so that people can essentially just go, look, I trust you, go ahead and make
we take our clients into, you know, situations where the spaces where they say they want to play, we insist on taking them into those spaces and spending a day there.
That's so,
you know, because we want you to see it in the morning, we want you to see it in the afternoon, we want you to see it in
the
evening.
Education part of it.
Watch the Vipers and the Porsches and the BMs and the Mercedes and bikers and everything.
Absolutely.
You think isn't happening in Soweto is happening.
In Tembisa,
in Deep Sluit, you know, every Gazi has their sentence.
So here's what I think. So and you guys bring up a point that, you know, like it's come up a couple of times as well. Like the fact that, you know, there's this big vacuum that's happening in advertising right now where there are a lot of juniors, right? And everybody who's supposed to have been the seniors has come out of the agencies.
Has left
the industry because they kind of, you know, for various reasons, right?
Yeah.
Many of them include things like being cut for and whatever. But now there's a vacuum.
Yeah.
Right? Now, how how do we see that evolving the industry? Do we see that becoming like agencies are going to have to partner with people like you guys? Or agencies are going to have to lure you guys back in? Like, which one is that going to be?
Grant, you see, so for me, we have to acknowledge that some of the big agencies that are out there at the moment do phone people like us when they get certain briefs, right?
Yeah.
The reality is our clients will never allow us to come in and get that big brief.
No,
it's always going to come through the bigger white agency. Yeah. Right?
I hear you.
So
the problem is on the other side.
No, I dare the bigger agency.
And some clients, they'll say, yes, you guys are great, and you know that we've got these retainers that we can't get out of, right? But I need you guys to go call Chair Esikasi because, you know, you guys
can help
with this. And then we sit there, we're not sure if we're like mediators or we're like playing the middleman.
Yeah.
And those agents acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know, they won't acknowledge that, listen, we needed a deeper insight.
Yeah.
So we got the insight specialist.
But now, like, because the whole approach to it now seems like it's like we don't need these insights permanently.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, look, we're just going to keep doing whatever the fuck we've been doing up until now. Every time it feels like this chokehold is getting hard, then we make a phone call.
Yeah.
You know,
but that doesn't sound
sustainable. It doesn't sound like a sustainable model.
No,
yeah.
Because we are evolving.
Yeah.
We're learning how to become smarter with our money.
Yeah.
We're buying houses.
Well, some of us.
We're going. Our kids are in grade school. You know, we are evolving as a black person. We are learning. Then they can't catch up with that evolution because we were kept away from it for so long that we're gobbling it up.
Yeah.
It's such a fast pace.
So tell me this thing. Okay. Are you guys adverse then to the idea of someone saying, okay, look, we think that Chenesek Aziz should be our in-house creative department
partner?
So we're not trying to be the house nigga.
We can definitely as a business really assist, come in, come out.
Yeah.
You know, as a business, we can definitely collaborate with a lot of agencies. We've been doing that to date. You know, it's important for those agencies to understand that it's not uncomfortable. You know, we're here to work with you. We're here to help you.
Yeah, we're not here to take from you.
You couldn't solve something in 2 months. We can solve in.
But you also understand the dilemma that, like, you know, they'll bring you guys in and then you guys in and out. But now, like, if the client loves you guys too much, now the client's going to say, to the point before, they're going to say, but then we don't need this agency.
But they're still not going to give us the 20 job, million account.
Do you
get what I mean? Yeah. We're still always going to get a percentage of that.
Why do you think that is? Why do you need
to start playing golf, you know? Sasha needs to be traveling more and sitting in lounges in the airport.
That's the stuff.
You must be in procurement somewhere there.
But you take photos when you're there, because if you go on Instagram, it doesn't exist.
But I mean, I think there's a mindset that needs to happen collectively within the industry, you know, so that you say, okay, cool. Don't be uncomfortable by bringing another business that's going to help your business and
maintain
your client.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any problem you putting us out there and keeping us a secret.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If that's the case, if it's solving your problem and we are making
a
target, then it's cool.
You know, it kind of reminds me of something. We actually just mentioned Lebogang Rastaba now. So I saw this thing on Mark Lips.
Sibling.
Yeah.
Stop following me, Lebogang.
So they just did this campaign with alongside Joe Public, and it's for HIV awareness, and I forget what the superhero's name was, but it's like this guy who, like, you know, he can fix everything around the hood and whatever, and he's a hero. But when he needed a hero, when he found out that he was HIV positive, his friends were there for him, you know, to tell him that, you know. And I thought it was really cool. It was shot really well, and I think that, you know, I'm really glad that the HIV narrative has changed from you're gonna die
to
you know what, there's a way, you
be
know
truth
what
and
what
get better.
All that.
And
all
the
that.
Hero never has HIV.
Exactly. Right. So I think that there's something really cool about that. But you know, I wanna ask you guys, like, with I'm being overly sensitive about this shit. But I think that I've looked at all that Brothers for Life stuff, right? It's just black folk.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, you know what, guys?
Botched circumcision.
And that's the thing, right? So what I'm saying is, right? There's a responsibility. Sorry, Jesus. There's a responsibility to kind of go, guys. We need to like start showing people as better versions of themselves and all that, and to give people senses of hope and whatever. But if we're constantly sitting out there and every HIV ad is just with black people, like it still perpetuates. And maybe I'm just being overly sensitive about this.
No, you're not.
It just perpetuates the bullshit that white people don't have HIV.
It's like 16 days of activism.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know?
I think anything that's in the negative light in children's South Africa homes, is always shown as black.
And you know what? I mean, also the inverse of that is, you know, we're constantly saying like South Africa is 80% black. You know, let's portray that, and that's cool. But it's also very important to portray the fact that South Africa is also 20% other races.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like I was just watching it, and I was like, it's shot well. Like we've stopped doing like the stuff that feels like people are gonna die. Mm. But at the same time, I feel like it's just saying like this is a black problem. Yeah. You know? Am I being overly sensitive? How do you guys feel about that?
The human condition is a human condition, so it doesn't matter whether the country is 80% black. It affects everyone. HIV, cancer, abandoned babies. But in our narrative, I think it also reinforces certain stereotypes about us.
That's right. And that's exactly
negative. That's why when they do positive ads, the white family in the morning having breakfast.
Yeah.
White. And now we started to do that, which is also
cuts and paste.
Because
yours is mdogo, it's not kiddos.
Exactly.
Around the table.
Sit
around the table. It's there. The table is there. It's always been.
Everyone eats as they finish washing.
There's no moment. There's no moment in the morning of having a deep conversation.
I left at 7. Everyone else left at 9 because I had to go to Springs. There's no sitting there. Time. Okay. Let's go. No.
Yeah. With your dad giving you one moment of inspiration before you go off to school.
I think because a lot of the charities aligned with a lot of the projects we've made. 16 days, you know, are obviously heavily black occupied, from mothers to grandparents. We work with a lot of organizations in Soweto. We'll find the occasional colored auntie in that home. But it's sad in South Africa that we just have two races.
That's right. That's white. Absolutely right.
You know, and we forget to acknowledge that there's a massive Indian community, Kurdish community. Chinese. We have a big Asian community.
That's right.
You know, and I think it is the responsibility of agencies to show the diversity of this country. What makes us unique in South Africa is, guys, there's no one like us, you know, and I think we're possibly the most advanced African country, even though the rest of Africa will kill me.
Yeah.
But in terms of close to being a first world in our thinking, in our dreams and our ambitions, I think we want more. We're very curious as a country, therefore we don't just accept things as they are, hence
that's
us fighting the Zuma thing. Sitting, you know, it's understanding that it's agencies putting egos down and going, yes, client, you've got that 10 million, but this is a bullshit brief.
That's what's up. That's
you know
what's
I mean?
up.
We've had to say no to briefs because it was a lie. We would have been
selling a lie.
Killing ourselves, and filtering what we stand for, which is black excellence. And there is this thing that is not believed in, that you know what, black people want more.
Grant mentioned the whole vacuum about seniors in the game that have kind of like exiled themselves from traditional agencies. What I found with the juniors is that they don't actually get that they can't say, like, this is not real. Like, this, I don't believe this. I don't know which black person is. And I think that's also a problem that lets a lot of bad advertising come out.
I mean, those kids need to be guided.
Bad advertising, I think clients as well. I mean, that's why I left corporate. You know, you have to be willing to play the political game. And if you are as authentic and real, and if you are proper black, you're probably going to be very frustrated and so forth. I mean, the first 6 months when we started, we were properly broke, but it was great. We still had Rigilim Doho.
Okay.
You know, but it's because we had to, we were very clear in terms of we're going to stay true to who we are, yeah. You know. If it means that we're not going to take a brief because it doesn't reflect our principles and it doesn't reflect how our vision and so forth, yeah. Then it's fine. But the last thing that we want to do is so become a copy and paste, and now we become...
But then you have no reason for being.
You just want millions.
You know, we just want millions. Yeah. We'll get to the millions. But the millions means that we then have to do it a different route.
Yeah.
And when we say we want to be disruptive, we actually mean that.
Absolutely.
And if you're not willing to then...
Yeah.
Like, I keep on saying, you know they talk about the 5 C's or the 4 C's
in
marketing. We're like, honestly, if you don't have the courage to want to see change and be the change that you want to see, then don't come to see what.
That's what's up. That's so crazy. You know, as you said, that you gave me a great idea. Maybe we should do like, over like they do those baloney packs. Like we should do a hustle nutrition pack. What about like
with dietary recommendations?
What about just so you get the essentials as you're hustling through the first 6 months?
And 6 months is light. She's still, I think Timmy's putting it nicely. The reality of it is, it took us about a year to get into a real big corporate sales, because you leave, you know, you get exiled, obviously, by the people who tell you, go, we'll support you.
They're the best ones. Entrepreneurship is like a lonely journey. They were kidding.
Because those same people were like, you say you're amazing.
You're like, I thought we were friends.
All those people who say you're amazing, now that you're on your own, they're like, I don't know.
Grant, it's ambitious.
What's your backing? What's your backing?
Absolutely.
I feel like what you're doing is brave, but just go back.
And because we weren't bought by a Devonport, who said we don't want to be funded. We don't want to be tied.
I felt we
could have gone that route.
Yeah.
And I think that's the safe route. To me, the mom. Mind them, they're fine.
I'm the whole right.
Oh, yeah. To me, for us, it was to me being able to take care of a daughter, but we also employed people.
And that's right.
We knew that we didn't want to be owned. We didn't have to answer to anyone.
That's
it
what's
ended
up.
With the three of us.
Yeah.
If anything, our business coach, you know, shout out B. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Coach B.
You know, we've got incredible business coaches. If anything, where we're stuck, we can go to them and ask. But we knew we did not want to have anyone beyond us make the decision.
Yeah.
So where we don't know, we're not saying we're experts in it.
Yeah.
We've gone in and asked the veterans. We've gone in and asked those that have been in the same position.
That's right.
But we knew if we sold even a piece of ourselves, who could be compromised.
Yeah,
I'm not saying the other guys who have are compromised. There are comforts that come with that. Friends. You get free office space, someone's helping you with salary.
Exactly.
There's all of that.
There's,
you know,
cash flow.
We were willing to work out of a room this size.
Yeah.
You know, we were willing to kind of get shit done.
That's dope. And that's dope.
From that, there's those clients who've said, your drive alone has encouraged us to kind of stick with you.
That's right.
In the beginning, we were not sure, but we are seeing it. We've had those clients. We've had clients who said, just off this little show of work that you did, we want to work with you.
That's so dope.
We've had clients, people say, you're brave. We like the fact that
you guys
are not
like
going to sugarcoat it, you know? Yeah. So it
like
hasn't been easy. It took a few believers, and I shout out to Yandisa, who was at Castle Lights at that time.
Shout out Yandisa, what's up?
Who trusted us with such a big account. Yeah. Who Ayanda at Fatis and Moniz with Somizi's campaign.
Yeah. You
know, those are people who said, yes, there's three of you.
Yeah, but let's run. But let's run.
But we believe. And that.
So I've just gotten a tweet from some of the comments that you made earlier. Shout out to Pella Mamabulo. What's going on, Pella? What's going on? So he just says, I just want to know, at what point does the portrayal of all races become a castle ad? You know? Shots fired! Become a castle ad, and we're trying to squeeze all races into an ad. But he does go on to say, but I do agree that such issues should be spread among all the people that stay in this country, and that white should not just be seen as a happy ad and black as a struggle.
Yeah.
Right? Because like you said, we polarize this entire thing.
Yeah.
But at what point does it stop being, you know...
You have to give Shane Castle a gold star for always. I think for them, it's not a now.
Yeah.
If you look back to every Castle ad, they're the one brand. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the one brand that I think always try to integrate. There's always a black guy, Indian guy.
Mike, hey George. Yeah. Hey George.
your VW ads were always like that as well. VW, the car, because if they try to speak to everyone.
Yeah.
Because they had products that were main market.
That were passed.
You know, everyone. Yeah. The telecom, whether it was a boy in Bloemfontein on a farm with white parents.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wanted it. So it definitely, there is the split. So there are the few brave ads. Your Woolworths show black as mixed race, for example.
Yes. Because you want to speak out
to not babies.
Yeah.
To not speak out.
Yeah, Coke does the same thing. Yeah. There are a few brands who do.
Black.
I think those that are brave enough to say, our person is black, our person is white, and do it right, I applaud those guys.
And also with all the other races, and then say, our person is Indian, our person is colored. And that's absolutely right.
And it'll still be authentic. If it's authentic, it's authentic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've got another tweet. Tara Mabutu Tseke is all up in here. You know, he stutters, but he's also stuttering on Twitter. He says, staying true is the new standard of quality control. We need this approach to stop the Masimba that leads to poor advertising and communication. Big ups, get shit done, guys, and Basinyeti.
We have marketers who hate us, who don't really.
But
I don't
know,
hate
is a strong word.
No, not no, they hate us. Corporate like haters.
But I mean, you bring up a very big point. In fact, it keeps coming up.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a lot of change that has to happen on the other side. You know, like we kind of all. We speak about the land that we know. You know, most of us know about the advertising world, and then kind of that's the world I know. But there's obviously a lot of changing that needs to happen on the other side in order for us to get to that work.
Yeah.
How far do you think we are from that?
I love, and we speak about this all the time, and I think our history plays a role in terms of the slowness of the change. I mean, we completely understand that Mandla here has been working very hard and is the only breadwinner at home.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, Mandla is like the marketing exec and is driving the Vorpa and it's got the townhouse.
It needs to look
not even
way.
The house, the townhouse in Bryanston that he's still owing and everything else and so forth. And honestly, you know, a revolution requires like change and a lot of sacrifice. So that means internally you need those brave soldiers who are going to say, irrespective of whatever happens to me or whatever I stand to lose, but I'm at least playing a part.
Until then, when you get marketers
who say, I like you, but then procurement says, and I'm not so sure, and then there's all these things, we completely understand and we don't hate them at all.
Yeah.
It is all, you know, they've got families to feed, they've got other things to know, but there'll be that one person who'll say, come hello, hi, you guys want to come in, you're going to change the game. So there are those few, but it requires a lot more people.
Okay, look, Inali, sorry, she's Inali, like collateral damage, like you're saying, right? But I think that I'm going to use that word ecosystem again.
Yeah.
But I think that's what actually needs to happen. If we get people to understand the value and the power of saving money, then you understand that the power of saving money leads you to the place where you can make those calls,
because
then you are able to like step out of a situation and not have a salary for 6 months and not fall apart.
Yes.
Because but all those things need to be in place.
Yes.
You know. Because if like all of us just go out there without any kind of like financial understanding of things, I can become more like Akingala, Kimonji. You know what I mean? And we need to make sure that we kind of educate ourselves and each other
about
all that shit.
People definitely get into the traditional corporate. You know,
I
think we are where we are because we worked in other spaces.
Jeez,
we had bosses. We got to learn the system, understand the system. You learn what budgets are, cost centers, POs.
Those are
things. If you decide tomorrow you want to work at Chirasekas, for example, I can't give you that.
Yeah.
You need to go and understand the industry from that perspective.
Right. Yeah.
So be in that uncomfortable marketing assistant position, then you're a brand manager on campaigns, and because you need to understand where you can affect change.
That's right.
So you see the gaps. I saw the gaps from where I sat. You know, from working at SABC, SAB, Media 24, every career I've had for me was an education.
That's
I wanted
right.
to learn something. I wanted to understand how magazines work.
Yeah.
So I went to Media 24. I understand radio and television. Yeah. So I went to SABC.
And I said, how pools work.
Yeah. how do I become a successful Shibino? I mean, SAB, for example, when you get into it, you're so overwhelmed and you realize there's a whole world where there's 20,000 or 50,000, so many Shabin owners who have become entrepreneurs from selling booze responsibly.
That's right.
SAB has helped them do that. You know, so you... they taught us how to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
For me, SAB teaches you the hustle of running a business.
That is dope.
Where my other jobs taught you the art of marketing or advertising. Or SAB taught you, if you've got 2 reds, how do you make it work that you now have 10 reds?
That's what's
and
up.
You sell beer.
That's dope.
And you keep going.
Okay. So wait, let me tell.
I just wanted to make one point. I know there's a whole thing about everyone. All of a sudden, the hustle has become the thing, and people in 95 are starting to feel as if.
Speak up. This point you're making is very important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even like making change within the industry about how we are viewed in our communications or marketing field. I don't want people to feel like if they're in 95s, they are not.
Yes.
There's this narrative now that if you're not hustling, if you're not doing your own thing, as if you're falling behind.
It's some of my best jobs are in the 95s.
No, I get it, but everyone is glamorizing the hustle.
Yeah.
Going on your own.
No, it's not glamorous at all, but I also want
to. We had less than 5K in our
collective bank account. Yeah.
Had to do things. You know, it's not glamorous. Sometimes
not everybody's cut out to do this. Yeah. That's another thing.
I was going to say, not everybody's cut out to be a lawyer or an accountant or a teacher.
Absolutely.
You know, but we absolutely understand and recognize that those professions are quite important.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you do need the entrepreneurial mindset and so for the individual who's going to try and obviously grow the economy and be able to employ others and all those things. So those people are also quite important. But there's nothing glamorous about it. I always say that if you're not a comrade at heart, don't hustle.
But I think that it's also understanding the levels of being a comrade.
Yes.
You know, because at some point, you know, even in to use our struggle as an example, in as much as there were people who were out there having the important conversations and going to Russia and Cuba and whatever, there were people on the ground throwing petrol bombs.
Yeah.
Right. So everyone has a role to play, and we can't say that one role is more important than the other.
That's
the point that you're making. I think that that's critical.
Yeah. 5 years ago, I didn't think I'd have a business.
Exactly.
I was happy in my corporate job.
2 years ago, I didn't think that you'd pull me in to do business. I was going to meet a rich man and live my life happily ever after.
Once again, Jim and the Edman, we're bringing people together, we're bringing each other together in order to bring things closer to us. Oh, guys, I think that it's so crazy. It's like the hour fucking flies by.
I can't believe
it's already been an hour. But like, you know what I'd like for you guys to do? I mean, I don't think that, you know, we ever can kind of crystallize like the three sentence version of what does Chirase Kasi do? Like, if I'm calling you guys up, give me the three sentence version of
elevator pitch.
I hear that so much.
Don't say elevator pitch.
It's really simple.
Switch your mic off. You keep saying shit like that.
We are ideation specialists, you know, and to put it in simple English, we sell ideas that effect change, that answer clients' problems, that
solutions
solve.
To clients
problems. You know, we find the solution. Mandla said we can come in and out in a space. We execute. We absolutely love to.
Yeah.
Dumi hates it. We love it.
Yeah.
You know, so we come with the expertise because we all were in the industry. All of us have done more than 10 years in the respected fields.
Yeah.
To be some sort of an expert, we're still learning and evolving.
Dope.
But what's really cool is we are in a space where we are the consumer. We understand our market. And we're really authentic. You know, we are about authenticity, relevance, and creating talkability for our clients.
Dope.
That's what we do.
I love that so much.
And
I love that so much.
And probably the only one agency that doesn't believe in lines. Hey, there's no above line, through the line, whatever those lines
are. Yeah.
What are those
lines? I want to do that like any buzzwords. What are you
teasing?
I was taking the piss. So one last thing. Guys, one last thing. We're running out of time. So I read this article, right, on between 10 and 5, right?
This guy reads.
And you'd be surprised.
He's a better writer, actually.
Than a reader? There's a compliment in there somewhere. Okay. In there somewhere is a compliment. So I read this article, and these people are talking about why they chose to be single, right? Because they're concentrating.
I was wondering why I wasn't
hustle.
Featured.
So hold on. So I don't want to reveal all that first. So like, there's a whole bunch of people: Spoon Panza, and Nobi Samta, Langa Mavuso, Chablile, Damini, Kwesha. And even Kristen Clegg, shout out Kristen Clegg, what's going on? They chose to be single because, you know, the hustle is tough, and this is how you also concentrate on being good at what you do. Do you guys
can I just claim
Manga lo.
And my man is in town. Manga lo. I'm not single at okay. all. I was, so they can answer.
I, in the beginning, chose to be single.
Yeah, yeah,
because
but
the
focus didn't last.
Was the hustle.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, it's you're human.
It's with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not choice. I'm between relationships. It's complicated.
I'm single. Cliff Central guy listeners. Anyone over the age of 35. I'm open 35 to 50. Any race. Must be self-efficient.
Okay. Enough.
Can have a 9 to 5.
Enough. I've run out of time. I've run out of time. Guys, thank you so much for coming to hang out. Guys, it's been another dope week of G-Man the Ad Man. And you know, get the podcast. We didn't actually swear too much, so you can play it for your moms. But like I say every week, man. Remember to take care of yourself, take care of those briefs, and take care of each other, because it gets real messy out there. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. Boom.
This is CliffCentral.com.